Welcome to our CCNA Audio Bootcamp. This is Module 1, Lesson 4, and we're going to cover all about VLAN trunking. We're thrilled that you're joining us here at www.ine.com for this CCNA Audio Bootcamp. Let's dig right into our VLAN trunks that we need to master for the CCNA exam. Realize that trunking, VLAN trunking, allows VLANs to move from Cisco device to Cisco device. So this is really neat. We can have several VLANs on a Cisco device, and we can trunk all of those VLANs over to another Cisco device. Obviously, this is critical in a router on a stick configuration. What we call a router on a stick is a layer 2 only. Typically, it's a layer 2 only switch, and it has a connection, a trunk connection, to a Cisco router. This allows the router to move traffic between the VLANs from one TCP/IP subnet to another. This is not an optimal configuration, by the way, having a router on a stick, but as a CCNA candidate, you are expected to know this rather primitive way to move traffic from one VLAN to another. The sophisticated method you'll end up focusing on in your Cisco career is multi-layer switching, where we have a router, called a route processor, built right into the switch. So in this chapter, let's focus on the trunking, and a little later on, we'll go ahead and take a look at how you would configure that old router on a stick configuration we mentioned. When it comes to your types of trunking, you want to master the two forms of trunking for Ethernet, and that's inter-switch link, a Cisco proprietary method, a Cisco invention, and the IEEE standard 802.1Q. 802.1Q is the superior technology these days, and Cisco is beginning to phase out inter-switch link. Some of their switches don't even support the technology anymore. So we certainly want to be aware of ISL, the old legacy Cisco proprietary method, and the IEEE method for the CCNA exam. Now, when it comes to these trunking protocols, all they're really doing, the magic behind their operation, is to simply take the VLAN ID for that traffic and attach it to the original frame. They do it in a different manner. For instance, inter-switch link is going to add the VLAN ID by encapsulating the original frame. It's going to put on a new header and a new trailer. So it's going to completely encapsulate, is the great word, the original frame with this new information. 802.1Q takes a different approach. It does what we call tagging. It's going to take the VLAN ID and some other information and insert it into the frame. Now, it's important, while ISL is typically called encapsulation and 802.1Q is typically called tagging, unfortunately in the industry, they will interchange those terms. So you'll hear people saying 802.1 encapsulation, and on the flip side, you'll hear people saying ISL tagging. So just be aware that technically ISL is doing the encapsulation, and technically 802.1Q is doing tagging. But again, be ready for those to be used interchangeably. You'll never use them interchangeably, though, after using our training. We want to talk as technically accurate as possible when we discuss these technologies. Now, we already mentioned in an earlier lesson the VLAN 1. The VLAN 1 in the 802.1Q environment is called the native VLAN. Here's what's so special about the native VLAN. This is one and only one VLAN that's traveling between the two Cisco devices that is not tagged. That's right, one unique, one special VLAN is selected for this native VLAN capability, and it's not tagged. Now, both of the devices, of course, have to agree on this native VLAN setting, so they realize whatever frame shows up without a tag belongs to that particular VLAN. You might be wondering to yourself, why do we have this native VLAN concept in 802.1Q? And the answer is, it's a safety net. It's a safety mechanism. If we don't tag this certain VLAN, it will be able to flow throughout a switched infrastructure, we hope, even if there's a problem with the trunk links. Because after all, it's not tagged. The frame is not manipulated in any way. So lots to memorize here about the native VLAN. First of all, it's only an 802.1Q concept. Second of all, it is VLAN 1 by default on Cisco equipment. And third of all, it has to match on both sides. Finally, when it comes to the native VLAN, we want to remember that it is a VLAN that does not get tagged. That's the purpose of the native VLAN, the one VLAN flowing between the two devices that does not possess a tag value. Remember when we were creating those VLANs in the last lesson? We had a very straightforward yet extremely powerful verification command that we could use, and it was simply show VLAN brief. Well, when it comes to our trunk links, we have a very, very powerful command, show interface trunk. Show interface trunk is excellent. It's going to give us a summarized view of the trunk links that we have on the Cisco device. It's going to show the port. It's going to show the mode for trunking. More on that in a moment. It's going to show the encapsulation, either 802.1Q or ISL. It's going to show us our status, whether or not we're actually trunking. And then it's going to show us the native VLAN. Now, one thing that's interesting about the native VLAN output for the show interface trunk command is that obviously we can ignore it when we're in an inter-switch link, an ISL environment. There's no such concept as the native VLAN for ISL, so you can just ignore that native VLAN output when you're looking at an ISL trunk. This particular show interface trunk command is also going to show us like the particular VLANs that are allowed across the trunk, and it's going to show us those that are allowed and actually active, and those that are not in a spanning tree pruned type of state, VTP pruned, I should say, and that are in a spanning tree forwarding state. So great information from the show interface trunk command at the command line. Now, let's get into the actual creation of trunks. There's a lot of important information that I'm about to relay to you, so let's make sure we pay particular attention to this part of the recording. You may even want to rewind this and listen to it a couple of times. Lots of important information. Cisco Catalyst switches can utilize a Cisco proprietary protocol called the Dynamic Trunk Protocol, DTP. The Dynamic Trunk Protocol, the idea behind it is it's there to help you automatically form these trunks when you connect these Cisco devices together. When you go to an interface and you say switch port mode trunk, you are setting the Dynamic Trunk Protocol mode to on. This is the DTP mode we call on. It's going to force the interface to trunk, and the interface is going to send these dynamic trunk protocol frames to the other side of the link, attempting to get that other side to dynamically form a trunk. So let me repeat all that. Switch port mode trunk sets the DTP mode of on. It forces the local interface to trunk, and that local interface sends out these DTP frames to get the other side to dynamically trunk. Now, what happens when you set your interface to switch port mode access? Well, switch port mode access sets the particular interface to an off DTP mode, doesn't it? It forces the interface to an access mode, a non-trunking mode, and obviously we are going to unconditionally stay in that access state. Now, it's kind of interesting. Technically, DTP is still running on this circuit, but certainly this interface is not going to want to come out of its access state dynamically. When you issue the command switchport mode dynamic desirable, you're saying, okay, I want to be a trunk if the other side is so willing, and obviously you're going to send DTP frames to the other side. If you set your command, set your interface to switchport mode dynamic auto, this means that you're willing to trunk. Sure, you'd love to trunk, but you're not going to actively try and trunk with the other side. You're going to sit there kind of passively and not attempt to trunk with the other side. Finally, the last command I want you to know about here for creation of trunks is switchport no negotiate. The switchport no negotiate command can be used with the switchport mode trunk or switchport mode access modes, and it stops DTP. It kills off these DTP frames that might ordinarily be sent on the link. So if you want to force an interface to be a trunk and you don't want it to negotiate this at all, you use switchport mode trunk in conjunction with switchport no negotiate. This is considered a Cisco best practice, by the way, to turn off DTP and, ironically enough, not use this protocol that Cisco invented to help us. Now, another topic that we want to talk about here is, I mentioned it earlier, the router on a stick concept. Remember, this is an inexpensive methodology for routing between two VLANs that are on a layer 2 switch. How you do this is you take the Ethernet interface that is on the router. Obviously, there's going to be like one fast Ethernet interface there that we can use for this purpose. And you go in and you configure sub-interfaces on that one Ethernet interface for each of the VLANs that you want to route between. Creating sub-interfaces is very easy. It's very simple to create sub-interfaces. All you do is go into the interface and you say, you go into global configuration mode. So from privilege mode, we're going to type configure terminal. And then you're just going to say interface fast Ethernet 0/0.1, for example. And that's how you create a sub-interface. Instead of referencing the actual physical interface, you just add a decimal and make up a sub-interface number. That's how you create your sub-interface. Now, one of the things that you will then do when you create the sub-interface is you will indicate the VLAN that that sub-interface is to participate in. The command to do this is encapsulation, .1Q, for example, and then the VLAN ID. So I might say encapsulation, .1Q, 2. And now this sub-interface will participate in VLAN 2. The next thing you're going to do is give the sub-interface an IP address. This is the default gateway address for all of the hosts in that particular VLAN. We use the IP address command in order to assign the IP address to the VLAN and that sub-interface. One of the sub-interfaces that you create on this router on a stick configuration, it's going to be rather unique. That particular sub-interface is going to be for the native VLAN. So we say encapsulation .1Q 1, for example, and then the keyword native. So encapsulation .1Q 1 native sets up the sub-interface for the native VLAN. And then, of course, we'd assign an IP address with the IP address command. Well, certainly a lot of information in this lesson for you to master. So you might want to listen to this lesson a couple of times. A critical lesson, lesson 4 here in Module 1, on trunking VLANs between our Cisco devices. I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and I sure hope you'll be listening in for the next lesson of this chapter, where we'll take a look at one of the worst named protocols in all of Cisco networking. Hope to see you then.